This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome back, folks. We are continuing to provide information in the aftermath of Hurricane Francine. Joining us at this time is Fran Phoenix, Clico Communications Strategist. Fran, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you.
Well, Fran, thank you so much for revisiting with us. When we reached out before, I know you were putting numbers together, and that's what people want to hear about, the number of outages and whether or not we've made any gains. So where do we stand at the present time?
We have made some progress. We're continuing our damage assessment, but we are restoring power. As of noon today, we have restored power to approximately 12,000 customers, or 30% of those that were impacted. The hardest hit parishes were Iberia, St. Mary, and St. Tammany parishes. And right now, Iberia has about 265 customers without power. St. Mary has 13,814, and St. Tammany has about 11,000. So that's what we have left to go. Our crews are out. We have a helicopter in the air flying overhead to look at the damage. The damage assessment phase of the restoration is very important because that lets us know what we're looking at and can actually enable us to give customers some estimated restoration time. So that's what we're hoping to have for them later today. But right now, we're 12,000 restored, and 30%. And at the start of the storm, at the height, we had about 37,000 customers out. So we are making some progress.
So you guys anticipate the assessment phase being completed at some point in time in the late afternoon of today so that you can provide better information for your customers as to restoration, right?
Definitely. Now, that doesn't mean that we still won't be looking at damage tomorrow.
Right, right.
That's possible. But surely, you know, today with the conditions being safe, the crews are out. We have 1,700 crews here. That's tree trimmers, line mechanics, and damage assessors are in that number. And they work and restore power as they are assessing damage. So it's not like we just assess damage, then restore. We do it at the same time.
And Fran, I believe Clico announced earlier today that in the assessment phase, they were able to determine that your transmission corridors were actually intact and not any issue.
Yeah, it does appear that don't have anything major out on the transmission side. But again, we're still in the early stages of the assessment. So I don't want to say that that's not possible as we continue to uncover and look and inspect. But as of now, no major transmission out. So that's a good thing.
Right. And then it falls to the distribution side. Do you know whether or not any substations have been significantly impaired?
I do not know. That's part of an update that we'll get a little later this afternoon. Mm-hmm. We have calls a couple of times a day with our command center, kind of like our war room.
Right.
And that's where we get all the updates. So this storm, like I said, it did not impact our entire service territory, which is a good thing. St. Tammany, which is part of our Eastern District, we have 103,000 customers in that area. So as of now, they have about 11,000 out. The Acadiana region, which is St. Mary and Iberia parishes, they have the rest of the outages are there. So the good thing is that the resources, you know, can all go to those areas. We're not looking at like a statewide where our northern district is impacted or the central, which is where I'm located in central Louisiana. So if there's some good news, that's a bit of good news because that means we can put all of our manpower in the eastern and southern districts.
Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us, Fran. We truly appreciate the update on the numbers, and best of luck to you guys in the restoration efforts.
Sure. I just want to make sure. Did I miss your question? I have a lot going on. I'm reading. Okay.
No, not at all. In fact, we appreciate you going back and revisiting the numbers and coming back on later in the show because, you know, your customers want to hear that, and we truly appreciate it.
Well, I thank you all for checking in with us and helping us share this information with our customers. I guess I would close by saying, while, you know, of course, customers are without power, the thing that we do now after a storm, you want to make sure you stay safe. And to do that, you need to stay away from power lines. Assume all lines are energized. And if you're operating a generator, make sure you're doing it safely in a well-ventilated area. If there is an emergency and you see wire sparking or a fire, definitely call our 800 number, 1-800-622-6537.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Fran Phoenix, CLECO Communication Strategist. Thank you for joining us. We now go to Sergeant Barrett with the St. Charles Parish Sheriff's Office. Sarge, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
So just if you would, give us a kind of a state-of-the-state update as it relates to St. Charles.
So here in St. Charles, we made out pretty well. We had some pretty strong winds last night, had some downed power lines and some trees, debris in the roadway. But other than that, we made out pretty well.
And have y'all any closed roadways?
We have three roadways that are still closed that we know of. One is Evangeline between Airline Highway and the first set of railroad tracks. We have a road closure at Pitt Road and Old Spanish Trail, or LA 631 in Boutique. They have some high water right there. And then, of course, the island of Bayou Gauche is completely inundated with water. We actually have a deputy out there checking for identification to make sure individuals live back there before we let them through because of the water.
Right. That's something that y'all typically experience, right?
Absolutely. A hard rain and the right wind blowing the bayou onto the street. Yes, we deal with that a lot.
Traffic signal outages. Mm-hmm. Many of those?
Not many. I believe the last update was three of them from our DOTD representative. So we're working hard. The parish employees are working hard. As of about 7 o'clock this morning, we had about 8,800 residents out of lights. Just as about right before noon, I got an update. It was 5,300 residents out of lights. So Entergy is working hard. Our parish employees are all out. Our deputies, we are working over double capacity staffed. So we're trying to get everything done for our residents.
Last evening, they were announcing that a couple of the cell phone services were having trouble connecting up to 911 centers. Did y'all have that same experience in St. Charles?
No, we didn't. And as of, at this time, I have never been notified of any issues.
Right, right. Final thoughts?
Please stay off the road. It's a beautiful day outside, but we still need everyone to stay off the road. The parish is out cleaning debris from ditches, so they have roads temporarily closed to do that. Entry crews are out, utilities, the deputies are still helping people. So just enjoy this day off of work, stay home, and let us get done what we need to get done.
Absolutely. Sergeant Barrett, thank you so much for joining us with the St. Charles Parish Sheriff's Office. We got to get to a break. We will be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Stay with us, folks.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by the president of the New Orleans City Council, Helena Moreno. Helena, welcome to the show.
Hey, Newell, how are you?
I know you guys have been working long hours. The mayor's having her press conference. We covered part of it with an update as to what's happening. Let's first talk about the Sewage and Water Board. We had Gasan on earlier, not unlike other parishes, continuing to have issues relative to the sewage side of the system. Any updates?
Yeah, so the update that Gasan gave at the mayor's news conference and that he gave to you, that's the latest that we know. But I'll say this. It was really last night that I want to talk about in the comms around last night. So, obviously getting reports that canals were full, that that flooding was not subsiding in areas like Lakeview, Gentilly, and lots of questions as to what was going on. So council members, were trying to get information. We were getting a little bit here and there. It certainly seemed like there was a case of like whack-a-mole happening within the Sewage and Water Board regarding power, some issues with Entergy power when that was lost, obviously going to our backup power, EMDs in some cases on the pumping stations, right? But what was frustrating is that, I was getting calls from different media outlets, different reporters about like, hey, can we get a spokesperson from Sewage and Water Board? Can somebody from Sewage and Water Board come on to inform the public, like, what is happening? What do they need to be worried about? Like, and the thing is, Newell, you know how it is. When there is a lack of information, then people worry more. It's like people would rather just you tell them straight up what is happening, and then, you know, the people of our city can prepare for what to expect next. But the lack of information is, I think, what really concerned people, what really worried people. And so that's one of the things that myself, Councilmember Morrell, Councilmember DeRusso, Councilmember Harris, that we have talked about that was a real issue last night and that needs to be fixed. And it's something that we have been talking about has needed to be fixed for quite some time. The communication with the public as to what is happening with Sewage and Water Board, particularly during emergencies, has to be resolved. I get it that there have to be all hands on deck to try to resolve the issue. No doubt about it. But take time. Somebody take time. You know, 10, 15 minutes to do, you know, quick phone calls, just to let people know whether, you know, to expect more bad news or whether the situation's about to be fixed. But not having any news at all and not having any information just makes people, you know, worry more and the situation at times worse.
And also what happens is distrust grows, right? So I can tell you from our experience here, they've been somewhat readily available, but we rely a lot on NOLA Ready. I mean, everybody's been promoting NOLA Ready, and there were some mixed messages that went out in NOLA Ready that were very confusing to folks. And I think that's why a lot of questions started to be asked in a very short period of time.
Right, no doubt. And then, you know, and then you also take a look at, you know, what's happening in Jefferson Parish, and you had Cynthia Lee Shang, who was, you know, out in Jefferson Parish and out on all the media outlets explaining, you know, what's happening with the flooding and why it's happening and urging residents, you know, to take certain actions and things like that. And so there was like that also that drastic comparison too, that it's like, okay, you've got Cynthia out there. She's like standing by, you know, by areas that are flooded, explaining like what's going on. And then you weren't really getting enough, you know, coming from the city of New Orleans. I was, you know, up 11 o'clock at night doing phoners. I was actually on with WWL TV, who I know you all work on closely, trying to explain what was going on with the Sewage and Water Board. But it's, you know, it's you know, doing better in emergencies when we're dealing with flooding issues on getting information as to what's really happening with the Sewage and Water Board. Like, that's a key thing that has to be fixed and has to be addressed.
One would, I guess, have an anticipation that that would be the mayor, right? I mean, in the case of Cynthia Lee Shang, you know, that's how the governance model works. She's the one that's out there. She's the face of it. And I interviewed her right before midnight, and she made herself readily available.
We were doing phoners around the same time. Right. Look, I don't care who it is, but someone from, you know, the Sewage and Water Board, somebody, you know, top leadership at the city level, you know, needs to be assigned that role of making sure that when there is an emergency like this, that the information gets out there to the public, because if not, you know, more worry, more concern lingers. I'll say this. I mean, even if you take a look, you know, also a comparison on the Entergy side, Entergy was not necessarily providing us good news through the night, but they were providing news. It's like, look, this is the number of outages that we now have. Here's where we are with the outages. The outages are growing. This is where we're at, you know, and take a look at our map. You can see what areas, you know, don't have power. And then even today, you know, we're getting the hourly updates from Entergy. We do have some areas, and Newell, I was just at one of them near Dillard University over on Pogger Street. You know, a major issue there, lines down, lines came down on the street, came down and actually burned, created a fire in the middle of the street, and part of the street is now burned, trees down, things like that. Some of these issues are going to take a while to resolve, and Entergy's assessment of all the damage throughout New Orleans is supposed to be completed this afternoon, but I have seen crews all over not only doing the damage assessment, but starting to figure out exactly how they're going to fix things and get things fixed as quickly as possible.
Yeah, their website has been very reliable as well. We've had them on at least five, if not six times, both Philip May as well as Deanna Rodriguez, and if not, their spokespeople. Mm-hmm. So they've been readily available, too. What do you see as the biggest challenge going into tomorrow? I mean, I know that we've got a number of conventions that are starting, people flying into town. Thankfully, the airport, it looks like, has not sustained much damage. They have power out there, which is a good thing, so they're up and running.
So I'll say this. Essential workers are out there and doing a really tremendous job in getting the city cleaned up, you know, tree limbs, debris, things like that, getting that off of the street, sanitation as well. A big kudos to Ivy Waste out there with his crews this morning picking up trash. You know, shout out to Ms. Charmaine, who even took me around a little bit on her route as she drove around on one of the trucks. So they're working really hard to do that. And I think that the city's going to be in pretty good shape as you know, Walt Leger probably told you with the big convention, coming in. So I think that it's going to be some power outages still, you know, obviously around the city that are going to be, an obstacle potentially for some businesses being able to reopen. As I mentioned to you yesterday, Newell, the community lighthouses, and those are the solar powered battery, powered community centers that are churches and nonprofit buildings. Those are opening up all around the city. We have 9 all across the city. And so if people don't have power, these are residential folks who don't have power and they need to go and charge their cell phones, get some water, things like that, get an AC, those are open, along with 4 rec centers. We have Cutoff open in Algiers, Joe Brown, and New Orleans East. We have Rosenwald, and we have Treme Center. Those 4 north centers are also open. Those are generator-powered rec centers, but once again, a good place to get out of the heat, charge your phone, get some water. And some of the lighthouses, I'll also mention, they are providing some meal service as well because they partnered with Second Harvest, an amazing nonprofit in our region, and also some local restaurants to provide some hot meals.
Yeah. Well, we really appreciate your final thoughts.
Look, I mean, to me, I feel like overall the city of New Orleans fared pretty well. But once again, it's just the comms piece on the sewage and water board that can just be so frustrating and can be scary for residents. You know, I mean, when you're seeing the water rise and you're not seeing it, you know, start to recede and you're not getting any information, like, that's really frustrating. And, you know, to see constantly on Twitter seeing, you know, whether it's, you know, Lee Zurich or whether it's Travers Mackle or whoever it is, tweeting about how they can't get any information or any responses back from Sewage and Water Board, like, that is just completely unacceptable. So that to me is kind of the big, that really frustrates me. But I will say this, I'm incredibly proud of our essential workers who are out there this morning, very early, working incredibly hard to get this city back in shape. I mean, they're the ones who are going to turn us around very quickly, I believe. But we do have some work to do still with the Sewage and Water Board.
Yeah, not to belabor the point, and you're right about the workers being out there this morning early, because I actually saw them. It was interesting last night because we started getting text messages just like you described with Lee and others. And we started talking about it on the air. And within 90 seconds, guess who calls in? Cynthia Lee Shang.
Who?
and gives us the information of what's going on. You know, and we recognize right away they lost a third of the pumping capacity at Duncan Canal, and we knew what the downstream implications of that was going to be. And we started looking for the rain gauge data, and we started getting preliminary data, the amount of rainfall, and we realized the system is behind the eight ball, and it's not able to catch up because of the amount of rain. That's why the water's coming up. The pumps are fully operational, other than the ones described at the Duncan Canal. And we just got to ride this out and keep our fingers crossed and hope that the water doesn't come in. But that's what's going on. And, you know, so it was, as you just pointed out, it was not difficult. I mean, when you get in the Bywater, there was 8.7 inches of rain. We got that from WWL-TV meteorologist this morning, and it's one of the first things I asked for when I came in because I was curious And we still don't know, but we know for about an hour and a half, there was a period of high intensity rain, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 2.5 to 4 inches. If that would have been all the rain that we had, the system still couldn't have kept up. It wasn't like there was anything wrong with any of this. It was just give the information so people can know, and they'll be on the lookout. There's angst, there's anxiety, there's emotion wrapped around all of this, right?
Yeah, and you know how it is. It's like not knowing is worse than just actually knowing what's going on, even if it's not great news. At least you know what to expect, and you know what to prepare.
It is what it is, and it ain't going to change for the time being, because it's just Mother Nature that dealt us, you know, a card that we're having a very difficult time figuring out how to play it.
Thank
you so much for taking time out of your busy day. We truly appreciate it. Helena Moreno, the president of the New Orleans City Council, and have a great day. Get some rest.
Thanks, Noel. You too. Okay. Bye.
We'll be right back, folks. When we come back, we'll visit with Jennifer Van Ranken, councilwoman at large in Jefferson Parish. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back, folks. We're going to jump over to Jefferson Parish. We're joined by Jennifer Van Ranken, councilwoman at large there. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Noel. Thanks for keeping everybody updated over the past day or two.
It is our pleasure. I understand you've been making your way around the parish. What are you seeing?
Yeah, you know, it was a little surreal because my original plan was first thing this morning at daylight to head down to Lafitte and maybe down to Grand Isle. When I checked in with those mayors this morning, Grand Isle, for example, Mayor Carmadale said they had about 80% to 90% of their power on.
Yeah.
So what that tells me is hardening of our infrastructure and our power poles works, because he was not out of power as they normally would be. Then I spoke with the mayor of Lafitte, and he said, you know, it was nothing they couldn't handle. They built a wall of sandbags that kept the majority of the water out. So again, what that says is if we give Lafitte permanent structures where those sandbags, you know, get deployed with volunteers, that works. The real problem in this storm is on the East Bank, the upper Jefferson portion of our parish, and that really was surprising to me. I live in Metairie. I'm born and raised there, and so I started in the Metairie area. We found some of our traditional locations, like along Metairie Road, where we have low spots that we know are problems. Businesses, let's say, in that Metairie Road at Causeway Corridor, around Gennaro's, there's a new little wine shop there. Those businesses got water, Sal Snowballs. They said they had an inch of water in their building. So our traditional areas in Metairie got water. But then later this morning, as I moved to the Kenner area where we saw the most massive power outages, and we know, look, this is Mother Nature, as you've said, that decides where the most rain is going to fall. But it's a combination of, okay, what is Mother Nature dealing us and how do we best prepare? So when we got to Kenner, we saw people who were doing what we all dread, pulling their carpet out, pulling out sheetrock, pulling out sofas. And we went from an inch or two, let's say in that Metairie Road corridor, to homes in the Kenner area around Joe Yenny Boulevard and Platt Drive, the Driftwood neighborhood. People told me they had 2 to 3 feet. And that's something I don't remember, Noel, from, you know, except like those May floods of old or major, major storms. So we know Mother Nature was most brutal in that area. And now we also have to figure out, were there any other things that were either not working or, you know, that contributed to what Mother Nature was just dumping in mass? And it's not about pointing fingers. To me, it's about, okay, let's get all the good information and the good facts that we have. And then can we plan better? Can we double capacity somewhere? You know, can we put generators somewhere as a backup? So we're really going to focus in that Kenner area on all the good information we can gather and then figure out what might we need to do to better prepare against Mother Nature in the future in that area particularly.
I think what we're going to find in the end, Jennifer, is that whatever the situation was the pumping capacity wasn't going to handle. It's why I asked for rain gauge readings when I first came in this morning at New Orleans International Airport, 7.3 inches. At Elmwood, 7.7. And, you know, so what that tells me is the average rainfall across that geographic region was extremely high. And I happened to be home at the period of time, and just I came back on air at 8 o'clock last evening. And we had talked to Michael, to Mayor Glazer in Kenner, and pretty much all things were okay. You know, it wasn't anything out of the ordinary. And then we had two bands move across this area and dropped an extraordinary amount of water on the street. And we're seeing what happened in Orleans. We're seeing what happened in Jefferson. And then it kind of dissipated, although Covington ended up with 6.6 inches of rain. We didn't see the intensity that we saw here on the South Shore. And I think it just buried the system. And the next thing we know, I mean, we're seeing, I'm getting text messages, water's coming up, what's going on? Are the pumps working? We're making the calls, you know, the pumps are working. They just, we got behind the eight ball. As you said, Mother Nature dealt us a card that was going to be really hard to figure out how to play it, you know.
I agree. Yeah, and that's why I don't want to be about pointing fingers. The finger is just that we live where we live.
Yeah, no, and it was just one of those weird happenstances.
Yes.
You know, it reminded me of that May 3rd flood. You know, it was like it's raining, it's raining, and then all of a sudden a cell moves across and freezes on top of us and drops more rain than I think ever, maybe. And, you know, next thing we know, we're swimming. You know, it was crazy.
That's what we heard from the neighbors in the Kenner area where I was just talking about. They said it was between 8 and 9 last night. They saw the water start to come up, and it was continuing until about, they said, 1 in the morning. So I would be really curious to get the data on what specific amount of rain in those hours was dumped in that area of Kenner, because that's going to give us good data on, like, how many inches past our capacity. We can only move half an inch an hour. And if you're getting what you're talking about, 7, 8 inches, we don't have that capacity. Now, I do know we have some information on some pumps that we did have some trouble with, and mechanical stuff fails.
Yeah,
you know,
the Duncan Canal lost a third of its pumping capacity, which would affect that Kenner area, because that's where Duncan is.
That's correct.
And you would see it backing up more. And that's why I was curious about the rain gauges, because it seemed to me that no matter if we were at full capacity or diminished capacity, in the end, it may not have made a difference, quite frankly.
Correct.
The only difference it would have made is how fast it was going to ultimately end up pumping the water out, but I don't know that it would have impacted the elevation of the water there.
One thing, if I could mention, you know, one of the things we've struggled with is when we try to get money from the federal government, like, for example, in the area that's dependent on Station 6, you know, that the federal government has to do this cost-benefit analysis. And if the cost of home flooding doesn't justify building, let's say, a pump to the river project, we can't ever get it approved and move forward. So one of the things that's going to be super important this time is if every business and every home that took water into their primary structure, we need to accurately document that, because it truly might change some of those formulas that we've been struggling against, and it might make the difference to push us over in a positive way to be able to partner and make upgrades that are just cost prohibitive right now. So if everybody that had structural flooding can email us at the parish, I know our email is simple. It's jennifer@jeffparish.gov, tell us where you flooded. And of course, we're going to do this strategically, but we want to gather all of the information we can, because if it helps us justify major projects that we can use to improve our drainage, then that's a win coming out of this for our future.
Absolutely. No doubt. Thank you so much for the update. Appreciate you joining us. I know you're busy, and we'll check in.
Thanks
with
so much,
you later. Neil. Thank you. Jennifer Van Ranken, Councilwoman
Thanks.
At large. We have Keith Hinckley joining us, the Plaquemines Parish President. Keith, welcome back again. Where do we stand?
I tell you, Noel, we're standing pretty tall, pretty good here in Plaquemines Fairs today. The sun is shining. You know, we're basically getting back almost to normalcy here. We did experience a little slight breach in one of our levees that was down in the Myrtle Grove area, but it's in one of those areas that's always very vulnerable during storms. And it's also in an area where we've got a major levee project that's going on. For, I think it's like 23-mile levee run there from Laura Seat all the way down to Diamond. And we're probably, I would have to say, we're probably about 75% finished with this project. But last night and one.
Welcome back, folks. We're going to jump over to Jefferson Parish. We're joined by Jennifer Van Rankin, Councilwoman at Large there. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Noel. Thanks for keeping everybody updated over the past day or two.
It is our pleasure. I understand you've been making your way around the parish. What are you seeing?
Yeah, you know, it was a little surreal because my original plan was first thing this morning at daylight to head down to Lafitte and maybe down to Grand Isle. When I checked in with those mayors this morning, Grand Isle, for example, Mayor Carmadel said they had about 80 to 90% of their power on.
Yeah.
So what that tells me is hardening of our infrastructure and our power poles works because he was not out of power as they normally would be. Then I spoke with the mayor of Lafitte, and he said, you know, it was nothing they couldn't handle. They built a wall of sandbags that kept the majority of the water out. So again, what that says is if we give Lafitte permanent structures where those sandbags, you know, get deployed with volunteers, that works. The real problem in this storm is on the east bank, the upper Jefferson portion of our parish. And that really was surprising to me. I live in Metairie. I'm born and raised there. And so I started in the Metairie area. We found some of our traditional locations, like along Metairie Road, where we have low spots that we know are problems. Businesses, let's say in that Metairie Road at Causeway Corridor, around Gennaro's, around there's a new little wine shop there. Those businesses got water, Sal Snowballs. They said they had an inch of water in their building. So our traditional areas in Metairie got water. But then later this morning, as I moved to the Kenner area where we saw the most massive power outages, and we know, look, this is Mother Nature, as you've said, that decides where the most rain is going to fall. But it's a combination of, okay, what is Mother Nature dealing us and how do we best prepare? So when we got to Kenner, we saw people who were doing what we all dread, pulling their carpet out, pulling out sheetrock, pulling out sofas. And we went from an inch or two, let's say in that Metairie Road corridor, to homes in the Kenner area around Joe Yenny Boulevard and Platt Drive, the Driftwood neighborhood. People told me they had 2 to 3 feet. And that's something I don't remember, Noel, from, you know, except like those May floods of old or major, major storms. So we know Mother Nature was most brutal in that area. And now we also have to figure out, were there any other things that were either not working or, you know, that contributed to what Mother Nature was just dumping in mass? Because, and it's not about pointing fingers. To me, it's about, okay, let's get all the good information and the good facts that we have. And then can we plan better? Can we double capacity somewhere? You know, can we put generators somewhere as a backup? So we're really going to focus in that Kenner area on all the good information we can gather and then figure out what might we need to do to better prepare against Mother Nature in the future in that area particularly.
I think what we're going to find in the end, Jennifer, is that whatever the situation was, the pumping capacity wasn't going to handle. It's why I asked for rain gauge readings when I first came in this morning at New Orleans International Airport, 7.3 inches. At Elmwood, 7.7. Right. And, you know, so what that tells me is the average rainfall across that geographic region was extremely high. And I happened to be home at the period of time and just I came back on air at 8 o'clock last evening. And we had talked to Michael, Mayor Glazer in Kenner, and pretty much all things were okay. You know, it wasn't anything out of the ordinary. And then we had two bands move across this area and dropped an extraordinary amount of water on the street. And we're seeing what happened in Orleans. We're seeing what happened in Jefferson. And then it kind of dissipated, although Covington ended up with 6.6 inches of rain. We didn't see the intensity that we saw here on the South Shore. And I think it just buried the system. And the next thing we know, I mean, we're seeing, I'm getting text messages, water's coming up, what's going on? Are the pumps working? We're making the calls, you know, the pumps are working. They just, we got behind the eight ball. As you said, Mother Nature dealt us a card that was going to be really hard to figure out how to play it, you know.
I agree. Yeah, and that's why I don't want to be about pointing fingers. The finger is just that we live where we live.
Yeah, no, and it was just one of those weird happenstances.
Yes.
You know, it reminded me of that May 3rd flood. You know, it was like it's raining, it's raining, and then all of a sudden a cell moves across and freezes on top of us and drops more rain than I think ever, maybe. And, you know, next thing we know, we're swimming. You know, it was crazy.
That's what we heard from the neighbors in the Kenner area where I was just talking about. They said it was between 8 and 9 last night. They saw the water start to come up, and it was continuing until about, they said, 1 in the morning. So I would be really curious to get the data on what specific amount of rain in those hours was dumped in that area of Kenner, because that's going to give us good data on, like, how many inches past our capacity. We can only move half an inch an hour. And if you're getting what you're talking about, 7, 8 inches, we don't have that capacity.
No.
Now, I do know we have some information on some pumps that we did have some trouble with, and mechanical stuff fails.
Yeah,
you know,
the Duncan Canal lost a third of its pumping capacity, which would affect that Kenner area because that's where Duncan is.
That's correct.
And you would see it backing up more. And that's why I was curious about the rain gauges, because it seemed to me that no matter if we were at full capacity or diminished capacity, in the end, it may not have made a difference, quite frankly.
Correct.
The only difference it would have made is how fast it was going to ultimately end up pumping the water out, but I don't know that it would have impacted the elevation of the water there.
One thing, if I could mention, you know, one of the things we've struggled with is when we try to get money from the federal government, like for example in the area that's dependent on Station 6, you know, that the federal government has to do this cost benefit analysis, and if the cost of home flooding doesn't justify building, let's say, a pump to the river project, we can't ever get it approved and move forward. So one of the things that's going to be super important this time is if every business and every home that took water into their primary structure, we need to accurately document that, because it truly might change some of those formulas that we've been struggling against, and it might make the difference to push us over in a positive way to be able to partner and make upgrades that are just cost prohibitive right now. So if everybody that had structural flooding can email us at the parish, I know our email is simple. It's jennifer@jeffparish.gov, jennifer@jeffparish.gov. Tell us where you flooded. And of course, we're going to do this strategically, but we want to gather all of the information we can, because if it helps us justify major projects that we can use to improve our drainage, then that's a win coming out of this for our future.
Absolutely, no doubt. Thank you so much for the update. Appreciate you joining us. I know you're busy, and we'll check in.
Thanks
with
so
you
much,
later.
Neil.
Thank you, Jennifer Van Ranken, Councilwoman
Thanks.
At large. We have Keith Hinckley joining us, the Plaquemines Parish President. Keith, welcome back again. Where do we stand?
I tell you, Noel, we're standing pretty tall, pretty good here in Plaquemines Parish today. The sun is shining. You know, we're basically getting back almost to normalcy here. We did experience a little slight breach in one of our levees that was down in the Myrtle Grove area, but it's in one of those areas that's always very vulnerable during storms. And it's also in an area where we've got a major levee project that's going on. I think it's like 23-mile levee run there from Laura Seat all the way down to Diamond. And we're probably, I would have to say, we're probably about 75% finished with this project. But last night in one of the areas where we're still being depending on what we call an old potato ridge, it had a slight breach in it, and we're out working on it right now. We're placing the big, large white sandbags in place, and we'll be good to go after that. And then we'll be able to do the permanent repairs on it for
Keith,
the future.
It's amazing how that damn water can find a weak link, right? No matter where.
You know, it's Mother Nature right there, and you're right. And it starts with like a finger going across the top of the levee, and it just erodes, and it erodes quick and fast.
And when you refer to it as Potato Ridge, that's not very reassuring.
Yes. Well, yeah, that's just an old term. This is a levee that probably back in the day, this is when the farmers were farming that area for their sugar cane and their soybeans or whatever they were growing back in the day. It was this little small 4 to 5 foot levee that they built at the back marsh just to protect their crops. So
Right. They
really didn't have to go up too high. And again, it's like we talked, yesterday, last night, or something, the last couple of days, is back then we had, the marsh was there. We had a lot more protectiveness than we'd have today.
Yeah. How did Venice fare out?
Venice fared out fine. I mean, there's not a problem, no problems. They're outside of, on Tidewater Road, we have some areas that are outside of the levee protection.
Right.
So it's basically tidal, but Venice itself up to Boothville, no problems, not even any power outages.
Yeah. Well, that was good to hear. And, I mean, you get prevailing winds down there for 3 or 4 days, and you get issues, that are presented
right.
when you're outside
yeah.
the levee system. Again,
well,
we
down
talk-
here, you when you take a look at the Plaquemines Parish in the state of Louisiana, that toll that goes out, we're in the Gulf of Mexico down there.
No, absolutely, the end of the world, so to speak, right?
No, it's the beginning of the Louisiana is what it is.
Well, Keith, thank you so much for joining us. We truly appreciate the update as well, and keep up the great work.
Newell, thanks for the opportunity for us to be able to tell the story of Plaquemines Parish, and I really do appreciate you guys a whole lot there at WWL. Okay?
Thank you, sir. It's our pleasure. Keith Hinckley, Parish President, Plaquemines Parish. When we come back, we're going to try and hook up with Robbie Miller from Tangipahoa. They ended up having a press conference overlapping with our situation. Stan Harris with the Restaurant Association. We'll check in with Mark Johnson from Covington, the Lieutenant Governor, Billy Nungesser. We'll also try to hook up with some other folks out in Jefferson Parish to get a perspective as to what's happening there as well. So stay with us for our continuing coverage in the aftermath of Hurricane Francine that actually came ashore as a Cat 2. And we're looking at the Entergy map, and there's progress being made. So that's a great thing as well. We will be right back after the top of the news break. This is Newell on WWL.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.